All right, everybody stand up today. I want to talk to you, and we're going to believe the Lord for this during the middle of it and at the end. This week, I love basketball. I don't know if you guys are watching the playoffs and all. Normally, that's what I don't like to watch the season. I just like to watch the playoffs. And they're doing a program. They're having a movie this, I think it's this week, comes out on Dr. J. How many ever watched Dr. J play when you were growing up, Julius Erving? Nope. How many saw Julius Erving play? Let's see, number. Well, you don't even know what I'm talking about. Most of you, there's only about two or three of us that ever heard of this. And it was, he was a basketball player. He started in the ABA and came over to the NBA. And he was known as the Doctor. And the movie, I think, comes out this week on TV. It's called The Doctor. And it got me thinking about the real doctor. Hey, come on, come on. Everybody say Dr. Jesus. Everybody say Dr. Jesus. And it's the real doctor. And I want to talk about that today. I want to talk to you because Jesus is the physician. And I just want to talk to you about Jesus, the great physician today. Father, we just come. We thank you for your presence. Thank you, Lord, what you're doing in lives of people, not just as a group, but individual. You love every person in this place. And Lord, you know them all by name. You know every hair on their head. You know everything they did this morning and what they did the last 50 years of their life. We commit it to you. We ask you, Lord, that you would speak to us personally this morning. We give you glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. Amen. Hey, let's give the Lord another good clap offer. Would you do that with me? Come on. All right, you can be seated today. You know, the word physician comes from a word that we know, physical. And it means someone who is concerned about your physical body. And one of the things that you need to understand is that you are three parts, your body, soul, and spirit. And Jesus cares about your soul, Jesus cares about your spirit, but he also cares about your body. Come on, everybody say amen to that. He cares about it. He's concerned with all three of those things. And when you understand that, listen, I believe Jesus is concerned about you, the total you, your body, your soul, and your spirit. And I believe that God heals in a number of miraculous ways that we call three different ways. Let me put them up. I believe he does this. I believe he heals naturally, medically, and miraculously. I believe God's involved in all three of those. You know, you are naturally, when you cut your finger, if it wasn't because of the natural abilities God's put in our bodies, we would all bleed to death. But because of the way God created us, our bodies, we heal. We have a scab. Certain things attack our body. There's antibodies. There's things within our body that begins to attack it. Secondly, is medical. How many know doctors are of God? Come on, somebody. Well, thank you for your enthusiasm. We had our doctors this morning. Doctors are from God. Bible says Paul, the apostle, had a doctor that traveled around with him called Luke, the beloved physician. And I believe many times that God, listen, we don't have to deal with things today that they had to deal with a generation ago because of godly doctors and ungodly doctors that still got wisdom from God. I believe every good thing comes from the Father of lights. And God gave us wisdom. And so we don't have to deal with polio as much as we did back then. We don't have to deal with some of these things. That the medical profession, doctors are not bad. Come on, get an amen this morning. Come on, Karen. Karen said amen. Nobody else says amen. They are good. They are gifts from God. Come on, somebody. They are good. God uses the medical profession for our good. And some of you, I remember John Osteen, one time he got up in church, he said, all right, all you hyper faith. He said, I no longer take aspirin. Well, they, a bunch of them, one group of them, get up and cheer, he said, I take Tylenol now. Come on, somebody. There are God-given things that God has given us, and it's absolutely, I mean, how many of you have ever had surgery? Let's see your hands. How many have had surgery? All right. How many have ever had a broken bone? All right. How many have ever had stitches? All right. Well, we're a broken, stitched up. But how many of you have ever had a minor surgery? All right, how many of you have ever had a major surgery? Okay, how many of you has cosmetic? I don't know who's that. But they, listen, here's the point. If you're broken a bone or stitches or surgery, and you've had experienced natural and medical healing, and maybe even, how many have ever experienced miraculous healing? Look at there. See, I don't believe one is opposed to the other. I have received miraculous healing. I've gone to doctors. I've had natural healing where I've had a cut and my body has naturally done it. So healing for me is many, many ways. When Oral Roberts, many years ago built a tower, and he had twin towers up there, and he had hands praying. And he talked, he said, we're medical science joined with prayer. Because when I was a young boy, Oral Roberts used to have a TV program. I don't know if many of you remember this. And he'd have these healing, mass healing crusades. Can you check the temperature, make sure it's cooler? I see about 20 people fanning, so they must be hot. So Oral Roberts used to have a healing program. And on it, they used to come down, and he used to put his hand, and the camera would zoom in on his hand. And he would say, as a point of contact, I want you to pray with me. And you go, and I had a neck one time, and God healed me of disease by reaching out to his, and have a point of contact, believing God. I've had miraculous healings. I've had natural healings. I've had God do medical healings. And what I've learned is, I want to use a story this morning, because nothing negates the other. God loves you, and God loves me. And God uses natural healing, physical healing, miraculous healing, medical healing for our good. Everybody say amen. Amen. He wrote Timothy, Paul did one time, and said, and Paul had a physician with him. And he wrote this to Timothy. He said, Timothy, no longer drink water only, but drink a little wine for your often stomach ailments. Does that sound like a natural medical thing to do? I believe he got it from Luke, the beloved physician. He could have said, Timothy, you just stand by faith, believe God to heal that stomach of yours. Come on, boy, rip up. He didn't do that. He used all types. One time he talked about a friend of his who he left in melts the sick. Other times, just the handkerchiefs off his body would be given. He'd pray over them, and they'd deliver people and got people healed. So never discount one for the other. Never say it's got to be all this way and all that way. The Bible never did that. See, error is always truth pushed too far. You've got to be balanced. Truth is always best kept in tension. So I want to talk to you this morning about the great physician. And I want to use a story that illustrate a few points, and then we're going to pray together. A leper came to him, imploring him, kneeling down to him, saying to him, if you are willing, everybody say, if you are willing. If you are willing, you can make me clean. You can make me clean. Number one. Point number one. Why did Jesus become a doctor? Why was Jesus a physician? You know, there are some that go into the medical field for different reasons. And, you know, varied as the reason for anybody going in any medical, any field other than medical. They go into it for different reasons. But why did Jesus... why did Jesus become a physician? Because he could have come and just been a great teacher, right? He could have come with great truths, and that's all he did. He could have walked around and just told what heaven was like, told how to get saved, how to do all this. He could have just been a great teacher, just showed up on earth from the Father, had all the wisdom from God, from heaven, and just wrote in the New Testament and just, you know, explained the New Testament. He could have just done that, but he didn't. He also coupled with all of that the desire to heal people. He had a healing ministry. And here's the reason why. Why did he become a physician? Let's read this in Mark chapter 14 and verse 14. It says, when he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had what? Can I tell you the number one reason Jesus became a doctor was because he loves you and me. And he cares about every part of you and me, body, soul, and spirit. The Bible says he came on the scene and he had compassion. Because he loves people. The reason that's important to me is because people heretically say that he did it to get a crowd. He did it to prove who he was. He did it to prove that he was from God. He did it to make a big scene so he'd have more people come so he could do the real important thing, teaching. But let me tell you something. It was as important to him to minister to you physically as it was spiritually. He cared about you. It wasn't a soup kitchen where you get them in and feed them so you can really preach to them. He cared about every person that came his way. He loved them. He had compassion on them. He did not come and start healing so that he could prove who he was. He came and began to heal because of who he was. He loved us. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten. God so loved that He came. And the reason He would reach out and touch people, the reason He would heal people, is not because He wanted to prove anything. It's because of who He was. He had compassion on the multitudes. The Bible says it over and over again, He would do those things. He would reach out to them. He literally loves people. Everybody say that with me. Say He loves people. He was not a sensationalist. You ever had somebody that all they do is to get attention to themselves? Jesus didn't do that. He did not do miracles. He did not heal people. So everybody stand up and say, did you see what that guy? Did you hear about? Did you bring out? He did not do that to draw a crowd. In fact, many times He would tell them after He healed them. In fact, the story we just read this morning, let's look at it. He healed this leper and moved with compassion, stretched His hands and said, I'm willing to be cleansed. And as soon as He spoke, the leprosy left Him. He was cleansed. And strictly warned him and sent him away at once, saying, he said, see that you say nothing to anybody. How many know today when somebody gets healed on people's ministries, the next week they put it on the front page of their newsletter? Let everybody know what they've done. Because healing and ministry has become a show. Anybody say, I don't want to be part of the show anymore. I want to be moved with the compassion of the Lord. And He would do that. And it's funny because it says later, look at the next verse in verse 45. However, He went out and told everybody, come on somebody. That's the way people are. They kind of go out anyway and tell everybody. But the Lord did not want Him. You know why? Because Jesus was not a sensationalist. He did not heal people so He could make a big crowd. He healed people because He genuinely loved them. He healed people because He became a doctor, because He cared about their body, soul, and spirit. He didn't say, well, this is just some little nonsense thing I got to deal with you physically. But the real important thing now is they're preaching. It didn't belittle. You don't have to take one and belittle the other. He cares about you physically. He loves you. His heart is for you. He has compassion. It's not pretend. It's not for some other alternative motive that He's going to try to do. Jesus drew near and healed. He loves him. He never drew attention to himself. Second thing is, Jesus was not a confessional, an extreme confession nut. Let me just say it that way. You have to be positive. You have to say the word. You have to. But listen, the right confession never means you don't confess the truth. I'll never forget one time I had a guy, and I said, I didn't know what to say, but snot was coming out of his nose. So I said, I think he got a cold. I don't have no cold. And I said, well, I think I see snot coming out your nose. I don't have no cold. He was taught that faith was never confessing your sickness. That's stupidity. That's not faith. Faith is confessing the truth and then saying, but I've got a healer. Come on, somebody. I may have disease, but I've got a healer of all my diseases. I may be depressed, but I've got a healer that's going to get me out of depression. So confession, he was never that way. He always said the truth. What do you want? What's wrong with you? He would say those things. Abraham, the Bible says, consider not his own body. Doesn't mean he didn't confess. He just said, hey, I've got something greater than my body is dead, but I serve a God who gave me a promise and it shall come to pass. God, listen, don't get off into that to where you become silly and you don't realize truth. Just say that there's something greater than that, on and on. Third thing is this, Jesus was not a dispensationalist. Hebrews 13, I mean by that is this. Hebrews 13 says, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. That there's a lot of people that teach, well, Jesus healed during His day, He doesn't heal today. He was a healer for 3.5 years, but He's not a healer today. That's like saying that He was a shepherd for 3.5 years, but He's not a shepherd today. He was a teacher for 3.5 years, but He's not a teacher today. He was the door, but He's not the door today. He was the way, the truth, and life then, but how silly is that? If He was the healer then, He's the healer today. If He was a shepherd then, He's a shepherd today. He does not change. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Come on, somebody. Give Him a good clap offering this morning, would you? He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I'm going to tell you something. He told us to go lay hands on them and see them. Now, when you begin to realize that He literally is that, let me give you a few scriptures on healing that He did in His day. Watch this. He went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom and healing every disease and every affliction. We don't have one account of anybody ever coming to Jesus that He did not heal them. There's not one time he's, "Oh, I'm sorry, I just didn't, you know." He never, every person ever came to him, he healed them. Look at the next scripture. "That evening they brought to him many that were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah." He took. Notice what he says. He says, "I saw Jesus healing, that it might," because there was a scripture in Isaiah that says, he took, it's speaking about the cross, it's speaking about when it did, he took our illnesses and he bore our sicknesses. Can I tell you, on the cross, he not only bore our sins, he bore our sicknesses and our illnesses. That's not me misinterpreting the Old Testament. That's the Bible interpreting it. Come on, somebody. It says in Isaiah 53 about he bore our sins. He did bear our sins on the cross. But he not only bore our sins on the cross, the Bible says he bore our illnesses and our sickness. Come on, somebody, say amen. He bore our illnesses and our sickness on the cross. Look at the next scripture. "Now when the sun was setting," you know what this means? That means it was getting dark. In the Jewish law, if you had a certain kinds of diseases, you were set apart from the rest of Israel. You were not allowed to come into the cities. You were not allowed to come into the neighborhoods. You were not allowed to attend synagogue. You were not allowed to come into the temple. You were not allowed to bring your sacrifices. You had to be separated them. And that law occurred in half during the day hours, the sun hours. But at night, there was a release. At night, when everybody else went home, I always like to call this the night crowd. Out of the shadows, you cannot imagine the healing, the diseases that would come out of the woodwork at night. He said, "When the sun was setting, all those who had any who were sick with various diseases brought them to him. He laid hands on every one." Everybody say everyone. He laid hands on every one. He didn't say, "Okay, thank you for all coming today. Everybody lift your hands. I'm going to pray a mass prayer for all of you today." He laid his hands on every... How many know he could have done the mass prayer and got them all healed? But you know what about Jesus? He's into individuals. We read one time he healed 10 lepers at one time. Another time he healed 2 blind men. Other than that, every time you read, it was an individual. It was an individual that he would touch. It was an individual that he would minister. You know why? Because he's into individuals. God loves individuals. Look at the next scripture. Look at 6. "He came down with them and stood on a level place, a great crowd of disciples and a great multitude of people from all Judea, Jerusalem, and seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, who came to hear him, not only as a teacher, they came to hear him, but they said, we know something else about him. He's not only the great teacher, he's also the great physician. And whatever it was, they said, you know, he's not doing this for show. And I love this because he healed, he taught, and then he healed. And he didn't do it because he was sensational. He didn't do it because, he did it because he honestly loved every person he came near. He had compassion on the multitudes. He had a heart for them. He would minister to them. And the Bible says it over. Some, listen, we never hear of anyone that did not get healed. And in fact, everybody that came to him, he even went to other people. He saw people out to heal them. One time he went to a synagogue and there was a woman bent over, and the Bible says he healed her. He one time went to the Pool of Siloam, stepped over numbers of sick people, came to one old man, and the Bible says he healed that man. Jesus had a heart. He was a great physician because he loved people. He had a heart for it. Now, when you begin to understand this, is second question I want to ask you then, is it his will to heal? Is it his will to heal? Because you're going to know this, the longest you live, you're going to learn this. Not everybody is healed. Not everybody is healed. But I want to show you that. That's the elephant in the room, the question. Let me just put it this way. Is it his will to heal? Look at Mark 1 again in verse 40 and 41. He says this to the leper. Mark 4, go ahead. Next scripture. "Then Jesus, moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, I am..." Everybody say, "I am willing." Let me just say that. He says, it is my will to heal you. You know, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, let me just show you this. The Lord's not slow to fulfill His promise, as some account slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish. How many believe God doesn't want anybody to go to hell? But will people go to hell? Is the will of God for everybody to be saved? And the will, another term for will, a word would be wish or desire. A will, it's like this. When I die, I'm going to leave my 72 cents to my two kids. All right, come on somebody. And my desire, my will, is going to be that they split that 72 cents evenly between the two of them. Can I get an amen this morning? That's my will. That's my desire. And the desire of the Lord is that everybody would be saved, but not everybody saved. And one of the things you'll find, and I've talked to some of the great healing evangelists, Reinhard Bunke, we had lunch one day. I remember I asked him, I said, Reinhard, is everybody, we see miraculous things that happen in your service. He said, I see blind people healed, lepers are cleansed. Does everybody get healed? He said, no. I said, why? You know what he said to me? He said, I don't know. I don't know. He said, I'm just being honest. He said, I've seen so many, it's countless numbers of blind eyes. He said, but I've seen countless number of people leave. But he said, I know this one thing. It is the will of God to heal people. It is God's will to, just like it's God's will to save every person on the face of this earth, it is God's will. You should never, because of circumstance, let go of the bedrock of your faith that it is the will of God to heal you. It is the will of His desire. His will is to heal you. You've got to remember this. We're in a warfare. Two, let me just give you a myriad of things can happen. One would be Daniel began to pray one time and prayed for 21 days and never gave up. And on the 21st day, an angel appears and says, I've been in the heavens coming to you from the first day you opened your mouth. But a demonic spirit kept me from getting there until Michael, the other archangel, came and delivered me. And I have made my way through, but it took me 21 days to get there. I know this. There are things that happen in the spirit realm we don't have a clue about. When Moses died, we don't know this. We just learned about it in the New Testament. When Moses died, a war began over his body. The devil tried to steal the body of Moses. Read it in the New Testament. We didn't know that in the Old Testament. There are things that happen in the spirit realm that we don't have a clue about. And you've got to understand there are times when if you don't know, but never let it get away from you, the bedrock thing, that it is the will of God for God to heal your body. Look at Luke 11. Watch this. Luke 11 and verse 11 says, what father among you, if a son asks for a fish, will give him a stone or a scorpion? Or if he asks an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then are evil, know how to get good gifts to your children, how much more will the heavenly... How many know that God's a better parent than us? Amen. And He loves you. There's not a parent in here, if you had the ability to heal your child when your child was sick, you would not... How many of you would know you would heal your child? And He's a better parent than we'll ever be. And you don't think He loves us and His will for us is to be healed? There is, and Joe did the whole week last week. If you want to listen, we've got sets of Joe's tapes for you. If you want them, they're $3 for the whole set of tapes. You can go see Ben after the service today. And this $3 covers our cost. And you can get that whole set because, listen, prayer, one of the things he hammered all week on us was this. Prayer is not religious. Prayer is legal. That God is bound by what He said. God does not renege. God does not come back and say, God said, I'll do in the earth. You had not because we asked not. And God will do in lives of people what we ask Him to do. So there's a point where there's so many different things. We understand all that takes place. But God is a good dad. Everybody say He's a good dad, would you? So I've learned this. James chapter 5 says it this way. James 5 says, is any among you sick, let him call for the elders of the church. Let him pray over him, anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if, everybody say if. If he's committed any sins, he'll be forgiven. But what if he's not committed? Can sickness come into a family with absolutely no sin in their life? Watch this. Watch the next scripture. As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And the disciples said, Rabbi, who sinned? Who sinned that this man would be born blind? Who sinned that this happened to that little baby when the little baby was first born? And they're thinking, the parents had to have some sin in them for the baby to have this problem. Who sinned, Rabbi, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And listen to the God of the universe. It was not that this man sinned or his parents. Get that through your head. The God of the universe said, it's not that this boy sinned or his parents sinned. Had nothing to do with sin in their lives. Can I get an amen this morning? Stop the nonsense and the holier-than-thou attitude that the reason that person's going through that or that happened to this family or this person's going having this happen, that somehow they have more sin than you. God forbid our lives. You've got to come to a place where you say, I know what I know and I know what I don't know. One of the best things I ever learned in my life is I had a sermon one time. I preached this. It says this: a few things I've learned since I knew it all. Have you been there? A few things I have learned since I knew it all. And one of them is, I don't know all the reasons why. Why isn't everybody saved? I don't know all the reasons. I know some. Why isn't everybody healed? I don't know. I know some reasons, but I don't know them all. But it doesn't shake the bedrock faith of my heart that God wants to save everybody and God wants to heal everybody. Come on, somebody. Give him a good clap offering, would you? Now, when this leper came to Jesus, he asked something that every one of us asks over and over and over. He did not ask the Lord, are you able? Everybody in here knows Jesus is able. He's able. It's not what he asked. He asked about his willingness to do what he knew he was able to do. Are you willing? Everybody say willing. Willing. Are you willing? If you are willing, I know you're able. I know, I don't have a doubt that you're able. But are you willing? Are you willing? If you would be willing, if you just would be willing. And think through why this leper is asking this. Because a leper was not permitted in the cities. Leper was not permitted to go to synagogue. And they didn't have, you know, the Gutenberg. They didn't have mass copies of the Torah, the Bible. So probably he very rarely ever heard the Bible. Are you willing to heal somebody like me? Are you willing to heal somebody that doesn't go to church? Somebody that maybe not as clean as everybody else. Somebody that has to hang around with everybody else like me. Are you willing to heal somebody like me? That's what he's asking. Are you willing to heal somebody like me? Are you willing? You can make. I'm not asking about your will in general. I'm asking, are you willing to heal somebody like me? I'm a leper. I've been told all my life what I'm like. I've been told ever over and over what I am. Are you willing to heal me? And that's where he came from. And I'm going to tell you, it's a question many of us ask over and over in our lives. Are you willing to heal somebody like me? Are you willing to heal somebody like me? And that's the number third question. I like it because, is he willing to heal? And in that blank, I want you to put your name in there. Because you sit there and everybody else looks at you and thinks, you're holy, you're great, you're fantastic. And you know what you did this week, and you know what you did today, and you know all that kind of stuff. And you sit and you ask the same question as that leper. Are you willing, are you willing to heal somebody like me? Not that good person, you know, down on the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth row. Are you willing to heal me? And he says, if you will, you can make, everybody say me, would you? You can make me clean. And listen, as I said this before, he always healed individuals. A few times, you know, but he always healed everybody individually. He would lay his hands and he would heal them. You know what? It's exactly what we're asking. Are you willing? The man at the pool, listen, all the people who got healed must have been really good people. Oh, really? Watch this. Watch the man at the pool of Siloam. He went and found in the temple and said to him, "See, you are well." What did he say? What did he say? What did he say? What does that tell you? He was sinning. Is that right? This man healed at the pool of Siloam. He went and he said, "Let me tell you something. You're well. See, you are well. You got healed. But stop the sinning now." That tells me you don't have to be good to get healed. But I thought you had to be real, real good. And the better you get, then the more likely the roulette, you're going to get healed. This man had sin in his life. And Jesus came and said, "Now stop the sinning. It's the goodness of God that led you. It's the goodness of God." I got to drive this home because it really is. He said, "Sin unless the worst thing come upon you." But somehow we think, yeah, but the people that were healed were better than me. Absolutely not. The way you get healed is the way you got saved. The only way you got saved was by being a sinner. Come on, somebody. And you got saved by grace through faith. And grace means it's undeserved. Grace that is deserved is no longer grace.
Kind of good an amen in this place.
Grace that is deserved is not grace. At the end of the week, when that guy that your boss hands you your paycheck, you don't fall down on your knees and say, "Oh, you are so good to me. I mean, I don't deserve this." Or you say, I deserve more than this. I deserve more than this. But now come Christmas time, is that right? Come Christmas time when the bonuses are handed out. See, a gift earned, it's not a gift. It's called the gift of grace. And the way we were saved was by a gift of grace. By grace are you saved, through faith. And the way you are healed is the same way you were saved. It is by grace through faith, which means you're undeserving of what happens to you. That means, are you bad enough to be healed? I think most of you are. Come on, somebody. I like Mark 2. Look at this one. We're almost done. Look at this one. Scribes and Pharisees, when they saw that he was eating with sinners. You know, when a Jew does that, they spit. One time I was in Israel, and they would speak to me, and they try to spit when they spoke to a Gentile to get the, out of their mouth. It said, eating with the sinners and the tax collectors, said to the disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus heard it. He said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick." You know what I found? I studied all the healings this week. I studied all the healings in the New Testament to see a common denominator. I want to see if it's faith. Without faith, you can't please God. Be according to your faith. I want to see if it was faith. I found there were situations where there was no faith on behalf of the person. When he went to the man at the pool of Siloam, he said, "Do you want to be healed?" And the man didn't say, "I'm full of faith. Yes, please God, I believe you can do it." You know what the man said? The man said, "I have nobody to throw me in the water when the angel comes and stirs." Some religious nonsense he believed in. And the Bible says Jesus healed the man. You have faith? "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." The common denominator. Here's the common denominator of everybody that got healed. Here's the common denominator. They were sick. That is the common denominator. He that is healthy does not need a physician, It's those that are sick. That is who needs a physician. So if you're a candidate, if you're wondering or not, if you got the common denominator, all them, listen, you don't have to be good enough, you just have to be sick. You don't have to be good enough, you just have to be sick. And then the last thing that touched my heart, musicians, come on up if you would. The last thing that touched my heart was in, look at this in Mark. Mark chapter 4, a leper came imploring him and kneeling down and said, didn't ask anything about his ability, didn't ask anything about his power. He knew all that. So I'm just wondering about whether you're willing to heal somebody like me. And Jesus moved, not moved with his faith, though that is a vital part of times, absolutely. And Jesus moved with compassion, stretched out his hand and touched him. Jasmine, let me use you as a demonstration up here. I can use her. This is my wife, in case you're visiting. We're married. Okay, we're married. We have grandkids. We think that there's a word used in the New Testament about touching, and it's used throughout the New Testament. It's a Greek word. It's used majority, 99% of the time, that they would come up and he would just touch. You would touch somebody. But there's a word used that doesn't mean that. It's only used a handful of times in the New Testament. And this is one of those times when it is used. Because the word means embraced. Doesn't mean he just reached out his hand and from a distance, you know. But when this leper, who if you touch a leper, then you become unclean like a leper. The rabbis would never, the religious would never do that. The Bible says this, when this man said, are you willing to heal somebody like me? Moved with compassion. He walked over that man and he put his arms, and the Bible says he hugged that man. You know, that man had not felt a hug probably in decades. He'd not been hugged in a long, long time, odds are. You don't touch lepers. You don't touch. Even lepers among themselves had different degrees of leprosy. He'd not been hugged in a long time. And this morning, I feel in my heart, some of you hadn't been hugged in a long time. How many know that God loves to hug people? Jesus didn't come and wear gloves. He didn't come in a room. He wasn't afraid of infection. Because he was infected by them, he infected them. He wasn't afraid of that leprosy getting on him. He knew. And he was the God of the universe who had become a doctor. And the reason he came was not just to teach and to lead us, but he cared about every part of our bodies, every part of our soul, every part of our spirit. And he ministered to all three parts of everybody. When that leper was there, he saw the humility. He saw it. And when he saw that guy was asking, are you willing to heal somebody like me? And he hugged that leper. I'm going to tell you, there was tears flowing. Can you imagine when probably the ends of his hands had been stumps and all those things began to grow back in that hug? Come on, somebody. All those things began to grow back. His teeth, his nose. Can you imagine he's sitting there and can you imagine, I'm going to tell you, I don't think it's one of those quick hugs. And you know, you ever done one of those quick kisses? I hate those quick kisses. You know, you just do one of those peck kisses when you're leaving or going somewhere. How many know God doesn't peck you on the cheek? He hugged that guy. I remember I was in a service one time and a man that was healing, had a healing ministry, and he had lost a child when he was young. And somebody, a couple brought a baby up there, and I'll never forget that. He took that baby and he held that baby for almost that entire service, weeping and crying and walking that baby. And when he handed that baby back to the parents, that baby was healed. That's the way God does us this morning. He comes. I want everybody to stand up. Would you do that? Would you stand up? I'm going to tell you, God wants to do something. We're going to do this. We're going to change. We're going to do that last song of the set we did. Holy Spirit, you're welcome here. And I want you to do this. You know, when the Holy Spirit comes in, the Holy Spirit doesn't just come in just to make us feel good. The Holy Spirit comes in to do things. The Holy Spirit is the emotions of God. If I could say it that way. The Holy Spirit is like the emotions of God. It's like God coming, and God wants to do something this morning in your heart. He wants to envelop you. He wants to fill you. He wants to do something. And we welcome the Holy Spirit because Jesus is here today by His Spirit. And He's come into this place by His Spirit. And I don't care who you are this morning. If you're bad enough, by grace, undeserving, God can do something. Maybe yours is a physical. Maybe yours might be an emotional. Maybe yours is something for your family. Maybe a relationship that needs to be healed. Maybe it's a spiritual need this morning. You need to finally close the deal on salvation. Say, okay, God, I'm quitting. I don't know what it may be. Maybe it's work. Maybe it's something else. There's gifts of healings for all type of things that God wants to heal. He cares about every part of you this morning. I want you to close your eyes. Would you just sing this with us? Come on, let's lead this. Come on.